David, chapter 4 takes a shift now.
Yes.
Some amazing revelations in chapter 1, 2, and 3 about the bigness of God's plan, and especially this plan of bringing the Gentiles and the Jews together. But then he starts off chapter 4 with this key word, therefore. I therefore entreat you. In light of what I've been sharing, now I'm going to share what how you need to respond.
Yes.
And it moves a little bit from the big picture. I'm part of this amazing plan that God has to bring into one house. God, Paul's like, yeah, but it's not just about this big picture. It's about you individually.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
You playing your role and you doing what God's called you to do and you taking hold of this. So I want you to listen with this question in mind. What's my response to this amazing revelation?
Yeah.
What is God calling me to do? Listen beyond even what Paul was telling the Ephesians and listen for what should I do out of response.
It's like Ephesians is in two parts. It's like the first three chapters are telling them who they are in Christ and all the wonderful mysteries of God. And 4, 5, and 6 is like, so this is how you've got to walk it out.
Yeah.
You know? And in chapter four, he starts to instruct on unity and maturity in the body of Christ and actual instructions on Christian living.
Exactly. It goes beyond the amazing revelation to very practical, and he begins to challenge them. This is what you should do. But also hidden in there is some amazing keys on how to live it out. Not just that we should. You know, it's all very well saying, now live it out. It's like, but how? It's actually he begins to intertwine the how-tos in here. So there's listen for that. What has God called me to do, and how can I do that?
Yes, indeed. Okay.
Thanks, David.
Here we go. I urge you then, I who am a prisoner in the Master's cause, to live lives worthy of the call that you have received, always humble and gentle, patient, bearing lovingly with one another, and striving to maintain in the bond of peace the unity given by the Spirit. There is but one body and one Spirit, just as there was but one hope set before you when you received your call. There is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is but one God and Father of all, the God who was over all, pervades all, and is in all. Every one of us, however, has been entrusted with some charge, each in accordance with the extent of the gift of the Christ. That is why it is said, when he went up on high, he led his captives into captivity and gave gifts to mankind. Now surely this going up must imply that he had already gone down into the world beneath. He who went down is the same as he who went up beyond the highest heaven, that he might fill all things with his presence. And he it is who gave to the church apostles, prophets, missionaries, pastors, and teachers to fit his people for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of the Christ. And this shall continue until we all attain to that unity which is given by faith and by a fuller knowledge of the Son of God, until we reach the ideal man, the full standard of the perfection of the Christ. Then we shall no longer be like infants, tossed backward and forward, blown about by every breath of human teaching, through the trickery and the craftiness of men, towards the snares of error. But holding the truth in a spirit of love, we shall grow into complete union with him who is our head, Christ himself. For from him the whole body, closely joined and knit together by the contact of every part with the source of its life, derives its power to grow in proportion to the vigor of each individual part, and so is being built up in a spirit of love. This then, as one in union with the Lord, I say to you and urge upon you, do not continue to live such purposeless lives as the Gentiles live, with their powers of discernment darkened, cut off from the life of God, owing to the ignorance that prevails among them, and to the hardness of their hearts. Lost to all sense of shame, they have abandoned themselves to licentiousness in order to practice every kind of impurity without restraint. But far different is the lesson you learnt from the Christ, if that is, you really listened to him, and through union with him were taught the truth as it is to be found in Jesus. For you learnt with regard to your former way of living that you must cast off your old nature, which yielding to deluding passions grows corrupt, that the very spirit of your minds must be constantly renewed, and that you must clothe yourselves in that new nature which was created to resemble God with the righteousness and holiness springing from the truth. Since therefore you have cast off what is false, you must every one of you speak the truth to your neighbours. For we are united to one another like the parts of a body. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the man who steals steal no longer, but rather let him toil with his hands at honest work, so that he may have something to share with anyone in want. Never let any foul word pass your lips, but only such good words as the occasion demands, that they may also be a help to those who hear them. And do not grieve God's Holy Spirit, for it was through the Spirit that God sealed you as His against the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, passion, anger, brawling, and abusive language be banished from among you, as well as all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, ready to forgive one another just as God in Christ forgave you.